Well, welcome all of you once again. There's been something that's been on my heart that I've been looking at for the last few weeks, and that is the grace of God. Tonight, for the last time in a little while, we're going to hear that being shared by Dr. David Gibbs called Great Grace. But there's others who have shared on the grace of God, including myself. And it's one of those things that we tend to sometimes, I think, take for granted because we know we're safe. We're safe. Like a baseball player, when he slides in the home plate ahead of the throw, he's safe no matter what anyone else is doing. Well, we're safe. But there's a part of grace that I really hadn't thought a lot about, and that's within the grace that God gives us is power. There's power in that grace that God gives us. And I wanted to read two commentaries about that and one verse in the Word of God. So, if you'll allow me, let me read the first commentary. In the Bible, it puts it this way. The main idea of the word grace is divine, means of help or strength. Grace is an enabling power. It enables the recipient to do and to be what he or she cannot do and cannot be if left to his or her own means. All of us need such an enabling power. That's one. Here's the other. Grace also indicates power, as it is a divine power that enables believers to live according to God's will and accomplish good works. This supernatural power empowers individuals to live a godly life, persevere through hardship, and grow spiritually, even though it is distinct from their own strength or effort. Okay, man doesn't give you grace, God does, thankfully. And the one verse I wanted to read on this is, I believe it's in Acts 16, but it says, "So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There's times when we're going to need power in our lives. We have it residing within us. So it behooves us to use it. God's grace has accomplished that. So we're going to start this video on grace by David Gibbs. But I want to preface it by saying there is a part in here that I'm going to mute for about 38 seconds. It's a little bit of too much information. But all in all, I think you'll enjoy this. So if you could start this, sweetheart, please enjoy.
If you want to sit here, if you sit there, whatever.
Do you have your Bibles? Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he gave a command of God that's critical for the hour in which we live, but it's really critical for every generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I love the theme that's up here, "By grace we stand, we serve, we send." You understand, absent grace, all we have is us. All we have is our intellect, our abilities, our diligence, and that's never going to carry the day. But God says, what I'm commanding you to do is have my power, my grace. I love Brother Folger, the definition I learned in Sunday school as a child for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You understand, grace is the power of God beyond anything we could ever imagine. Now, if you're saved, and how many of you here know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Hold your hand up. Well, if you're saved, the Bible says it's by grace. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now that you're saved, are you strong in the grace? If I were to ask you this morning on a 0 to 10 scale, with 0 not being good and 10 being exemplary, How much of God's power do you have in your life? How much of God's grace? Peter, in writing to the church, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, grow in grace. By the command of God, we're to be strong in grace. And by the command of God, we're to grow in grace. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, there's an amazing statement. Speaking of the church, God makes this comment. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I wonder if you sitting here this morning and say, by the kindness, the loving favor, the grace of God, I have great grace on my life. Now the Bible says that they did three things, and when they did these three things, then great grace was on them. And I promise you, God's no respecter of persons. What God did for one, he'll do for others. And this morning I ask you, why would you want to navigate life without the power of God in your life? Why would you want to try to navigate life without great grace? Let me tell you the story of how this came about from the scriptures. In the book of Acts, Peter and John have gone to the temple to pray. And as they were walking into the temple, there was a man there begging alms. In the Jewish faith, it was commanded that they give alms. That is, kindnesses to the poor, to the invalids. And there's a man there at the temple begging for alms. And as Peter and John walk in, this crippled man says, you know, can you give me some silver? What do you have? And Peter answers back and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. And do you understand? He had the power of God. By the way, this world should expect us to have the power of God, such as I have. Well, he said, I don't have any silver and gold, but here's what I'm going to do. By the power of God, you're going to get healed. And when he stood up and could walk, the place came unhinged, because everybody in the temple knew that from birth he'd been an invalid. Now all of a sudden there's an uproar, and here come the authorities. When the authorities came to Peter and John, they said, in whose name did you do this? Where did you get the power to do this? And Peter said, I'm so glad you asked. I just love Peter at this. Peter said, I want you to understand where I got this power. We got this from Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we did this. The same Jesus that you put on a cross, the one you crucified and you thought you killed, and who you put in a grave, but 3 days later he rose again. How many of you are thankful you serve a risen Savior? A risen Savior. And they said, it's in his name that we did this. You tried to kill him. You tried to destroy him. But you can't destroy him. He's all powerful. Well, the authorities got mad. And the authorities said, look, button it up. Stop talking about him. We forbid you to talk in his name. Now, I want you to hear me. That's happening across America right now. All of a sudden, Christians are being told, you can say God, you can say Allah, you can say Muhammad, but you cannot say Jesus. And they said, no. We can't but speak the things we've seen and heard. They got bold. Well, they put him in jail overnight. Now remember, these authorities got the power to kill you. They're nothing to mess with. When they let him out in the morning, they warned him again and they said, look, we're telling you right now, you stop it. We don't want to hear about this Jesus anymore in our community. And immediately, Peter and John went back to the local church. And when they went back to the church, they did three things. And these three things unleashed the power of God. These three things unleashed great grace upon them. How many of you want the power of God in your life? Hold your hand up, would you? Boy, without it, what in the world are we? I want you to write these three things down, because I promise you, I need to keep growing in grace. I love your pastor, Dr. Chappell. What a man of integrity. What a man of honor. I mean, I've known him a long time. I hold him in the highest esteem. But I want him to keep growing in grace. I want every dear man of God here to keep growing in grace. Every mom here has to grow in grace. But they did three things, and it unleashed God's grace to where they had great grace on them. Here's the first thing they did. Write it down. They praised God. They praised God. They had great praise. They had great praise. Now, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. There's virtually not a day of my life that I don't get a call from a church or a Christian, a politician, from somebody who's got a legal nightmare on their hands. And they say, David, we're calling, we need your help. What should we do? What should we do? We've got this mess, we've got this nightmare. Tell us what to do. I said, okay, write this down. Number one, here you go. Thank God for it. And they say, do what now? Praise God for your problems. And you know what they say? Yeah, but we wanted help. Until you start praising God in everything. The Bible says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How good are you at praising God? Let's watch how they did it. Start at verse 23 with me in Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company, that's the church, and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, I love this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, now circle the word Lord used there. This was the word for God when you wanted to use the word for God that said all powerful, not great. You know, I hear people say, well, our God has a lot of power. No, he doesn't. He has all power. We don't serve a powerful God. We serve an all-powerful God. God says, what you've got that's impossible is only impossible with man. It is never impossible with God. That's the word they use. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the people rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Do you understand? Not one thing is ever going to touch your life that your God's not totally in control of. It never catches God by surprise. He is all powerful. Now he says, I want you to praise me. I want you to thank me. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. When is the last time you praised God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your spirit, all of your strength? The Bible says that that's how we're to do it. Whoa. Brother Steve Kluth is here, my dear friend, been with our ministry 19 years. Brother Steve's a sports nut. When he watches a ball game on television, he goes crazy. He'll be watching the game, and he'll start screaming at the TV. And he'll say, what are you doing? You can't. And I'll say, Steve, lighten up. It's just a game. No, it's not. I want you to understand something. I'm watching the game. It's like he's on the field in the game. He has put his spirit into it. When is the last time with God you put your spirit into praising him? And you did it with all of your heart. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, how many of you want God to give you your next breath? Hold your hand up, would you? And how many of you would like one after that? Do you know why he gives us breath? To praise him. Now, I hope today when they sang all of this beautiful music and these wonderful hymns and choruses, I hope you sang with all your heart. I hope you praised God with your spirit, that you were into it. I don't know if you've ever been able to sit on a platform and watch people during congregational singing. A lot of people look like they're in pain. Oh, no, he's not going to sing another verse, is he? You know what the problem is? Your heart isn't into praising him. And he knows it. You can fool me, but nobody here fools God. My law partner, Charlie Craze, we were together, I think, 25 years. When we'd sing in church, oh, he sang so loud, so loud. And he had a habit. It was a gift, I think. He sang a perfect half note off. Didn't matter what key they were in, he was a half note off. And he would sing so loud that he'd get a whole portion of the church singing in his key. And I think 20 times, maybe more, I've watched a song leader stop. And Patch, the song leader, would say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, let's stop. This is crazy. Let's go to the key he's in." So they'd go to the key he's in, and he'd go another half step off. You couldn't get it fixed. And I would say, "Charlie, you're messing everything up." And you know what he'd say? "I know. But I love to sing to him. I love to praise him." When's the last time you said, "I want you to hear this, I love you"? When's the last time you put your spirit into it? Whoa. I was invited to preach a number of years ago at an all-black church, a great church. And when I got there, there's a large church, several thousand people there. I noticed that I was the only person not of color in the church. I've had the privilege to speak at a lot of black churches, but I don't believe I was ever in one where I was the only person not of color. And I'm sitting there, and the people are friendly, and I'm getting ready for the service. And a dear lady came in and sat down on the front row, not too far from me, on the pew. And she nodded at me, I nodded at her, and I said, "How are you today?" She said, "Good. How are you?" I said, "Good." A couple minutes went by, and finally this lady turned to me. Now, she's going to change my life forever. I just don't know it yet. This dear lady turned to me, and she said, "What are you doing here, white boy?" Now, when she said that, it startled me. Never in my life had anybody called me white boy. And she didn't say it nasty, but it just caught me off guard. She said, "What are you doing here, white boy?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, white boy's going to preach this morning." And I thought, oh my goodness, I just called myself white boy. This is getting out of hand in a hurry. She said, "You're going to preach, white boy?" I said, "Yeah, ma'am." She said, "Well, isn't that a hoot?" And I said, "I agree, that's a hoot." Next thing she did, she turned to me and she said, "You got the stuff, white boy?" I said, "I beg your pardon." She said, "Don't play stupid. You know what I mean." She said, "You either got the stuff or you don't got the stuff. And if you don't have the stuff, white boy, you stay seated right here and let somebody get up there that's got the stuff. Now, have you got it, yes or no?" Whew. I said, white boy's got the stuff. I don't know what to say. Brother Folger, I'm saying, God, give me the stuff. Boy, I'll tell you, this is, whoa. She said, now, did they tell you how we do stuff around here? I said, no, ma'am. No, they didn't. Oh, she said, white boy, you're going to love it. She said, first thing we do is we sing for an hour and a half to 2 hours. I said, you sing for 2 hours? Oh, she said, it's great. She said, it drives the devil crazy. She said, man, if you really praise the Lord, it gets your heart ready to get the word. Oh, she said, we love driving the devil crazy. And she said, you know who else that drives crazy? I said, who? She said, carnal Christians. She said, they can't stand it. She said, you love singing, don't you, white boy? And I said, ma'am, I'm loving it more by the minute. Yeah, ma'am, I'm with you. She said, after that, we have testimonies. And she said, it's people who got saved and they confess sin. And she said, virtually every week, somebody gets saved that's done some crimes. And, man, when they confess those crimes, we take them right down to the chief of police and turn them in. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, you know, you're not right with man, you're not right with God. She said, you know that's in the Bible? I said, yeah, I'm aware of that. She said, a couple weeks ago, we had a guy get saved. He come forward and he confessed that he tried to kill the chief of police and his family. Blew his car to smithereens, but the bomb went off too soon. He come forward, got saved. She said, the whole church went down to the police station. And we turned him in. He got on his knees in front of the sheriff and begged his forgiveness. I said, wow. She said, you haven't done any crimes, have you, white boy? And really, this went through my mind. None that I'm talking about this morning, I'll tell you that. She said, okay, now in a minute, we're going to start singing, and I need you to do me a favor. I said, what's that? She said, I need you to move over just a little bit. I said, somebody else coming? She said, no, just me. Little do I know, this lady is going to change me forever. I said, why do you need me to move over? I mean, we're already that far apart. She said, because when I get singing to my Jesus, I need a little room. We got singing, good thing I moved over. That lady started singing, and her praise pulled me in. Brother Hamilton, after a few minutes, I found myself saying, I want that. I want the spirit she's got. By the time we were done, her spirit had spoken to me, and all I kept saying is, God, forgive me for my pitiful praise. Forgive me. Forgive me for just singing the songs. Have you ever done this? You know a song, so you just sing it by rote. It's not really coming out of your heart. It's coming out of your head because you just know it. And I said, God, I want what she's got. It changed me. Those 2 hours went by like that. When you're standing in front of the King of Kings, yes. When you're praising the one who loves you so much, he gave his son to die for you. And somebody is singing like they mean it. Oh, it changed me. Finally, the preacher summoned me up to the platform, and I went up there, and he said, Brother Gibbs, I see you're down there talking to Sister Abby. I said, is that her name? He said, yeah. I said, preacher, can I tell you something? I want to be like her. She changed me this morning. Would anybody around you this morning say, I want to be like that man? I want to be like that woman. Oh, you can't hide heartfelt praise. You can't hide it. He said, did she tell you her testimony? I said, no, sir, she didn't. He said, Brother Gibbs, a year ago, her two junior high boys and her husband went down to the bus stop at 6:30 in the morning. Her boys are going to go to school on a bus, and her husband takes a bus to work. And while they're standing there at 6:30 in the morning waiting for their buses, they think it was a gang thing. Two cars pulled up and shotguns came out, and they murdered her family. They shot her boys to death and her husband. And then he said, unthinkably, just to be wicked and vile beyond words, they got out and blew the heads off her two boys. When we buried them, we had no heads to bury. She tell you any of that, Brother Gibbs? I said, no. All I know is I want what's in her. I want that in me. Brother Gibbs, did she tell you she's got stage 4 cancer? And no money for medicine? I said, no. Preacher, she has something, though. That lady knows how to praise the Lord. Have your kids ever seen you praise the Lord with all your heart? Has your mate ever seen you praise the Lord from the depths of your heart? Oh, I'm thankful for what we do in church services, but that's just the beginning. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You want great grace? It starts with great praise. I know your pastor. I know the staff of this wonderful church. If they could do this for you, they would. Here's the problem. Only one person can praise the Lord for you, and that's you. That's why the devil's going to do everything he can to sidetrack you and get you away from praising the Lord. Look at the second thing they did. Number one, with great praise. They wanted great grace. Well, it starts with great praise. Look at the second thing it does. It comes with great boldness. Verse 29, and this is my life's verse. My mother gave me this verse when I graduated from law school. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. It doesn't say much boldness. It doesn't say great boldness. It says all boldness. How bold are you at witnessing? The command is we're to do it with all boldness. Wow. I don't know how it's happened, but I've sure witnessed it. In the last 20 years in America, there's been a profound change. Every unusual philosophy and thought and wickedness has come out of the closet, and God's people have gone into the closet. Suddenly, the Christians have been quieter than ever, and if you speak up, they want to say, get back in the closet. We're commanded by God to have great boldness. Now, we've never had better gospel tracts, we've never had better tools, and we've never done less witnessing. In our lawsuits, what we find, and these statistics are not just ours, less than 6% of God's people ever witness, ever. You understand, that means 94% of the Christians never one time witness any way, shape, or form. And of the 6% that do, only 4% do it with any faithfulness. And of that 4%, only 1.5% ever personally tried to lead someone to Christ. What would it take for you to have great praise and great boldness? a pastor friend of mine. We were going to travel together on an airplane, and he said, David, I'll get the tickets. I said, great. When I arrived at the airport to go with him, dear man of God, he said, I got our tickets. He said, we're going to get on the plane last. And I said, no, we do not want to get on the plane last. That's a bad idea. I said, all the bin space will be gone. There won't be any place to put our briefcases, our tote bag. He said, no, we got to get on last, and we got to do it for Jesus. And I thought, what's Jesus got to do with getting on a plane last? And then he says, we're going to sit in the last row. And I said, no, please. On this airplane, the engines are in the dead back. They're right on the side of the fuselage. I said, if we're in the last row, we'll have an engine on our left, an engine on our right. Our molars will be vibrating for a month. You do not want the last row. He said, no, we're going to get on last, and we're going to sit in the last row for Jesus. And I thought, he needs some preaching. Jesus got nothing to do with this. Well, finally, everybody's on the plane by us, and the gate agent said, come on, hurry up, you got to get on. What he did next mystified me. He hands me his Bible, and he says, you hold this. He takes his coat, pulls it back, he unbuttons his shirt, pulls it back, and on his T-shirt, he has a message printed. You know what the message is? I can tell you how to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. And I looked at that and I thought, sweet Alabama, what is that? Now, we walk up to the gate agent, and he's there like this. And she said, can I take a picture of that? And he said, yeah. She gets her phone, and she gets a picture of it. And she looked at me, and she said, you with him? And I said, well, kind of. Isn't it funny how when somebody gets bold, we get timid? Now we walk down the ramp, and man, the stewardess is down there. They already got their cameras out. The girl up top called them and said what's coming, and boy, they're looking at it, and the one said, man, I'm a Christian. I never saw anything like that. That's amazing. They're all snapping pictures. Now he's going down the aisle, and he's going like this. And people are standing up taking pictures, and one lady said, back up, I wasn't ready. Do it again. And I'm watching him do this, and here's the thought went through my mind. If I did it, I'd have room for the whole Romans Road, man. I mean, I got a lot of real estate there. We could do a major billboard. Finally, we get to the back of the plane, and he's buttoning up his shirt. And while he's buttoning up his shirt, a flight attendant came up to us. And she said, do not get off this plane until you talk to me. She said, God sent you for me. She said, promise me that you won't leave until you talk to me. Promise me. And he said, okay. I thought, wow. Now they're taking off and he's telling me, you pray, David. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but you pray. He said, we've done our part. Now we got to see what God's going to do. That plane took off. When they undid the seatbelt, 7 people came back and said, I want to talk to you. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, nothing like that's ever happened to me. Not me either. But how bold are you? When is the last time you did something bold for God? It amazes me during the sports season how Packers fans will show up wearing cheese heads proudly. And people wear colors and dye their hair because something matters to them. Well, here's my question. Does Jesus Christ matter to you? Every person you're ever going to meet has a destiny with eternity. I hope you live a long time. I hope I do. But there's not one person in this room who doesn't understand. At some point, this life ends. And then what happens? At one point, every person you ever meet is going to stand before God. And the question is, what did you do with Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, you want great grace? It comes with great praise, and it comes with great boldness. Look at the third and final thing they did. They prayed. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now remember, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is already there. But now the Holy Spirit has got a hold of them. And the Bible says that when that prayer went down, how good's your prayer life? How good is mine? The Bible says an amazing thing. Listen, and I'm done. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. What are you asking God for? The Scripture says ask, repeats it 8 times, ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. What impossible things are you asking for? God says, ask, I'll show you great and mighty things. But you got to pray. I have a prayer list I do for my wife. It has 62 things on it. I pray it every day for her. There's 62 things I'm asking God to do for my bride. Now, there's nothing on that list peculiar to us. And if you were to read that list, and I've handed it out hundreds of times, you would read that list and you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 62 times. There's only one problem, you're not asking. What would it take for you to start praying, asking? You have not because you ask not. And when is the last time you asked God, help me fix my praise? God, by your grace, help me fix my boldness. I'm timid. Help me. And when is the last time you said, God, help me with my prayer life? We're commanded in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. God says, I want you to start talking to me about everything. Prayer can change every bit of it. Why would you want to navigate life without great grace? Why would you want to try to raise a family today in a culture that's gone haywire without great grace? Why would you want to do anything without the power of God? Now please hear me. The devil doesn't care what you just heard, as long as he can get you out of here without making a decision. In fact, I think I can show you from Scripture, the devil loves it when we hear the truth of the word, but we don't do it. Because we're commanded to be doers, not hearers of the word. And maybe here this morning you say, well, Brother Gibbs, man, my praise is perfect. My boldness is perfect. My prayer life is perfect. Then I beg you, pray for me. Because I want mine to be so much better. I need great grace. And so do you, my friend. But the decision lies with you. These people are going to go out and change the world. These people are going to show the world what Jesus Christ can do. And we have the same privilege, having great grace. I see these precious men that serve us who are here in uniform. Thank you for what you do. But boy, does any soldier today, anyone in uniform, need great grace. I see these politicians. Oh, they need great grace. There's no way Pastor Chapel can be what God's called to be done here without great grace. There's no way in my life in ministry and my family absent great grace. Without great grace, I'm whistling in a hurricane. But by great grace. With this I close. Paul didn't say be strong in the grace to frustrate us. It's absolutely possible. Peter didn't say grow in grace to frustrate us. It's a command of God because it's possible. And they didn't tell us about this church that had great grace upon them all just so we could be frustrated. No. What got it? Great praise. What got it? Great boldness and great prayer. Now the choice is ours.
Father, thank you for the message about your great grace, Father. Again, that we don't take that for granted, because we all can do something in our lives to help others and ourselves. Each one of us are peculiar. Each one of us have a purpose. Each one of us have your power residing within us. Help us to release that, Father, with great boldness as we praise you and pray every day, Father, and every part of the day. So I thank you for each life in this room right now and the difference they make and can make, Father, because you've never left us and never will. Help us to see with a clear mind, with a clear heart of who we are, not selling ourselves short, Father, but standing firmly on your word and claiming your help. After all, you are the one true God who created the heavens and the earth for us to enjoy as we await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, we cry out to you and ask you for your help each and every day. We have ups and downs, as your word says, we will have tribulation, but that's not the end of the road. That's only something else that we can flex our spiritual muscles and get through. So I thank you for every heart here this evening, Father, and those who have called in, that you bless us and give us the eyes to see what we need to see. And we love you and praise you, Father, all in Jesus' name. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen.